Well, could you turn your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 10? Hebrews chapter 10. And verse 23, we read, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Let us hold fast. This morning, I want us to direct us on this historic occasion of the 400th anniversary of the Borough of Ards, and of course the visit of our friends to the Crest. Now we have a few of these little cards to give to our friends, not enough for each, but it gives the coat of arms. It has on it various history of families that settled here years ago. It has there the flax flower from which linen came. Newton Ards was known for linen, also the flowery culture. In other words, it was known around this area for growing flowers, still market gardening and so on. And we're going to give some little gifts to you afterwards, just to show the congregation, although don't break the 10th commandment and covet our own people, but a little bookmark, leather bookmark of the Borough of Ards. It's Newton Ards Town, but it's called the Ards Borough Council. And then also a little copy. You didn't get to the dinner, but the Mayor's dinner this week to commemorate the event of 1613, when this was one of 16 towns in this area of Ireland that got the Royal Charter. And then we also have a pencil for you. I have a little Singapore pen at home, and actually I have it in the minister's room, and this is again a commemorative pencil. And then also for each of you, we have, with courtesy of the Mayor and the Council, a little coin. I'll not start taking it out. It's a commemorative coin, and it has here the crest of Newton Ards upon it, and we'll have those given to you afterwards. So everybody can get one as long as you come from Singapore, all right? So we wanted to present this to you afterwards, but just to let the people know. And what I want to speak on is the crest, the inscription, because the inscription upon the crest, and excuse my pronunciation of Latin, but it's Fidelis Atque Fortis. It means always faithful and brave, or always faithful and courageous. And I thought of this verse in Hebrews chapter 10, and in the text I read in verse 23, "Let us hold fast." What does it mean to hold fast? It means to be courageous. It means to be faithful no matter what. And there are many verses we could turn to, especially in the New Testament, where the call goes out, "Be thou faithful, be thou faithful." In fact, to a church in the book of Revelation, that was written by the risen Saviour, where he appealed to the church in times of persecution and difficulty. "Be thou faithful unto death, you'll receive a crown of life." How often do we read in the Bible where it was said to God's people, "Be thou courageous, be thou courageous." And we trust, as our friends go on in the Reformation tour, that we'll remember those men and women who at the glorious Protestant Reformation were faithful and true and courageous. And that you'll remember, as you think of Newton Ards and even the little memento here, that God requires us, as those who are saved, those who know his name, to be always faithful and true to him. Very simply this morning, I'm not going to speak the usual length, so you're seeing a miracle this morning, our visitors from Singapore. The meaning of faithfulness. The meaning of faithfulness. You see, there's nothing that will substitute for faithfulness. A person may have all kinds of abilities, but if he doesn't have dependability, of what benefit are those other abilities? If your car only starts one out of every three times, is that faithful? If your refrigerator in your kitchen only works, let's say, three of the 7 days, would you be going down to buy a new one? You'd say it's not faithful. It's not faithful. Well, you get a professed Christian, "Lord, I'll obey you in 80% of your commands, but the other 20, I'll think about it." No, that's not a faithful Christian. Faithful child of God says, like Paul, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" 100%. 100% of the time. That's what we mean by faithful. And remember, the Lordship of Christ is not like a cafeteria line, like a buffet where you go up and I'll have a bit of this and a bit of that, and I'll leave that. No, serving the Lord is obeying in every command that he gives. There's a lovely verse in Proverbs 29, verse 19, that says this: confidence in an unfaithful man, listen, is like a broken tooth. Do you remember some nights suffering in pain with a broken tooth, crying out for daytime to get to the dentist, get a bit of Novocaine and get it dealt with? God says confidence in an unfaithful man is like having a broken tooth. And so the writer says, let us hold fast our profession, or it can be translated confession, the confession of our faith. And the Bible Presbyterian Church and we in the Free Presbyterian Church, we share a common confession. We hold to the Westminster Confession of Faith. That's the profession, the confession of our faith. And we hold to it. You see, there are churches today are not faithful. When you go to Edinburgh, no doubt you'll see the headquarters of the Church of Scotland. I had a great honour, one of the greatest honours in my life, just a few years ago, to preach in what's known as Magdalen Chapel. It's owned by the Scottish Reformation Society and not by the Church of Scotland. But that's the very room we held a service for our ministers and elders of our presbytery to commemorate the Reformation and also to show our opposition to the visit of the Pope. And I was honoured to speak at that. And it was the very room where 450 years before that John Knox, the reformer, held the first Presbyterian assembly in Scotland after the Great Reformation. What an honour it was to be in that historic room. Do you know that same Church of Scotland, just this past week, voted by a majority to allow its ministers, both men and women, because they have women ministers, that they can be in an open civil partnership, same-sex marriage, as it's called. They want marriage, but it's a partnership, something like it. And they can be living in that open partnership and yet still be a minister in the church. All we can say about that is they have left the confession of the faith. They've left the A few congregations have seceded. They've left the Church of Scotland. One of them there, some of you may know, St. George's Troon, very famous church. Eric Alexander was there, George Duncan. They have withdrawn. In fact, they lost their building. But they came out. Ought to be commended. The problem is, why didn't more congregations leave? Where's the other evangelical congregations? How can they stay in a denomination that has left the faith? They've ceased to hold the faith. And we are to hold fast to the faith, says the faith. What does that mean? Well, the scriptures are our faith. The Bible, we're to contend earnestly for the faith. They're the scriptures of truth. We're to contend for the truth of our Saviour. The Saviour is truth. We're to hold to his deity, his virgin birth, of course, his deity, vicarious death, his glorious resurrection. We're to hold to the truth of Scripture. We're to hold fast to the truth of the Saviour. We're to hold fast to the truth of salvation, justification by faith alone in Christ alone. That we're saved by grace alone in Christ, not by anything we can do. Those great truths of New Testament Christianity that were re-emphasized and reiterated and repeated at the glorious Reformation, we're to hold fast to these great truths. So what does it mean to be faithful in these days? It means you'll stay loyal and true to Christ, to the truth of the Scripture, to the truth of the Scripture. That the way of salvation is not in the church, it's not in good works, it's not in ritual, it's in Christ and Christ alone. It'll become more difficult to stand for those truths in days to come. But I'd encourage our visitors and we in the church here, we ought to hold fast. Hold fast. You see, there was a danger with these Christians to which Paul, I believe the writer, was sending this message, that they could become slack, become tired in the battle. And he's saying, let us hold fast. Let us be faithful and true to the truth of the faith. Of course, Paul, remember when he came to die, what he said, I have fought a good fight. He said, I finished the course, I've kept the faith. And thank Paul was faithful to the faith, and he was faithful in the fight, and he was faithful to the finish. Faithfulness. But as Boaz said to us in his testimony, we're only sinners. And when you read a verse like this, that we're to hold fast, how can we? We're weak. We fail. We're conscious of our lack of strength. What is the only motivation? Thinking now of the motivation to hold fast. Well, it's in the verse. Here's the incredible motivation. It says in the verse, For he is faithful that promised. There's our motivation. Faithfulness is an attribute of Almighty God. Over and over in the Old Testament, as I read earlier, he is faithful. Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is the faithful God. Oh, as we focus upon the God who cannot lie, the God who always keeps his word, the closer we know God, the more we walk with him, the more he will work in us and through us that faithfulness. It doesn't come from us gritting our teeth. It doesn't come from us saying at a meeting like this, oh yes, I will be faithful in my own strength. No, we're conscious that we're weak. And we need to focus our attention upon the Lord. We're living in an unfaithful world, full of unfaithful people. We mourn at our own unfaithfulness at times. But thank God we can lift our eyes upward and see the faithful God, who always has been faithful in the past. He's faithful in the present. He is faithful in the future. Notice how I put it. Is. Because God's the great eternal one. He's Jehovah. The God who is and was and is, who always will be. He's the eternal God. He never changes. He never changes. And that's why we can sing that hymn, Great is thy faithfulness. Lamentations chapter 2, verse 22. But I was interested in thinking about this verse this week. That when you study the Old Testament and you study the word faithfulness, it is often linked to his covenant. For instance, Deuteronomy 7 verse 9. He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy. Oh, God is faithful to his covenant. You say, what's the covenant? Well, I think back to the covenant with Noah, which is only a type of the covenant that Deuteronomy was talking about in many verses in the Psalms. You remember the rainbow? God put a symbol in the sky, the rainbow, the seven colors, and said, never again will I destroy the earth with a flood. In other words, God made a solemn, binding oath, a covenant. But that covenant is only a sign or a picture, an illustration of the covenant of redemption. What's that? In eternity, God the Father and God the Son made a covenant, and God the Son made a covenant on behalf of his people, that he would become their representative, that he would be their mediator, that he would come into the world and he would live that pure, righteous, holy life that we could never live. He undertook to do that, to provide redemption for us. And then that he would go to the cross and all the debt and the penalty and the curse that's ours. That in eternity, God the Son covenanted with the Father, I will come into the world and I will take their curse. I will die in their place. And thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ was faithful to the covenant. That's why at Bethlehem he took a human nature and a human body. That's why in the wilderness tempted by Satan he remained faithful. Through his life when he was tempted he remained faithful. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane facing the cross, he remained faithful. When he went to that cross and the crowd cried, come down! If you be the Son of God, come down and save yourself. Thank God our Savior remained faithful and true. You know, have you ever thought about the courage of our Saviour? There's no more courageous person ever walked this earth. Oh, I know there's courage in battle when men will rush in and maybe give their lives. And yes, and that's to be commended. But the Lord Jesus Christ knew exactly what he was going to suffer on Calvary. In fact, he told his disciples, the Son of Man must go to Jerusalem. He'll be scourged. He'll be spat upon. He'll be crucified. He knew in detail what was going to take place. Because he himself, of course, had written in the Old Testament. Because all the Bible is his word. But that was the price for our redemption. That's what was the cost to redeem us. And he went all that way. And with his own blood, toil, tears and sweat, he was faithful even unto death. The only way we'll be faithful is to get our eyes upon Christ. And see the great penalty that he bore. Very quickly, I want to think of Christ. He's called the faithful high priest, by the way. He's called the faithful and true witness. He's called the faithful apostle. And various titles. The symbol of that covenant in the Old Testament is a rainbow. Seven colors. Do you know what's interesting in the New Testament? There are seven times, seven verses where you read God is faithful. Seven times. Now, one time is translated God is true, which of course is the same meaning, but in our beloved King James is translated God is true. Let me give them to you very quickly. Don't worry, we'll not keep you too long, but very quickly. Don't you remember 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9? He's faithful to pardon. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Wouldn't it be terrible if you came to confess your sins to God, not knowing if he'd forgive you or not? Oh, but believer, he's righteous to forgive you. He's righteous. What that means is, God doesn't just overlook sin. Some people in the world think that. No, no. He can forgive us our sin because Jesus Christ took our sin on Calvary. But thank God he's faithful to pardon. And when you come to him and confess, confess means to say the same as. Agree with what God says. Another one, 2 Thessalonians 3 and 3. Listen to this verse, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall keep you from evil. Now, when you're in Edinburgh, you'll see the Edinburgh Castle. We have a great castle in a place called Carrickfergus. I've been in it many times. And the very centre part of the castle, with the thick, thick walls, it's called the keep. The keep. That's the name of it. Because that's where the defenders would run into as the last resort. It's the safest part, the keep. God is faithful, who will keep you. And the word in the Greek means surround you, garrison you, fortress you around. The Lord will keep you. Isn't it wonderful to know the Lord protects you? We're protected by the Lord. We could never keep our salvation. Some people, the idea when you're saved, then you try and keep it. You can't. The Lord keeps his people. He's faithful to pardon. He's faithful to protect. This verse we're looking at in Hebrews 10:23, he's faithful in his promises, isn't he? He's faithful in his promises. And the whole background in verse 25, the context is the day approaching. He is faithful to keep his promise that he's coming back for us. He's faithful in promising. You can depend upon his promises. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 18. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 18. Listen to this. But God is true. It's the same expression, I assure you. God is faithful. And he said in this, all the promises are yea, verse 20, and in him, amen. They're yea and amen in Christ. Unto the glory of God by us. In other words, what he's saying here is that all those promises to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, if they are applying to you, you can apply them because he will perform them. Let me explain it. You're reading in the book of Joshua. You read where God said to Joshua, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You're going through, believer, this is to believers only. You're going through a terrible time of trouble.
You say, oh, I wish the Lord would say that to me. Wouldn't it be wonderful for God to appear and to speak and to say your name, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But that passage in 2 Corinthians 1:18 says all the promises are yea and amen in Christ. If you're in Christ, that is for you. But my name's not Joshua, but it's for you if you're in Christ. Because Hebrews 13:5 said, God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, 1500 years before, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Oh, thank God he's the God who's faithful to perform. All those promises, you can claim them in Christ, and he will perform them. He will perform them. The verse we took a few weeks ago, we've been doing the study in the life of Joseph. But God is faithful, 1 Corinthians 10:13, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. You'll be able to bear it. Ah, the Lord is faithful in what he permits in your life. Joseph suffered terribly by temptation down in Egypt from Potiphar's wife. Ah, but God said, I'll not suffer you to be tempted. I'll be faithful to you. No matter what you're going through, believer, you say, I just can't bear it anymore. If you knew the trials and the temptations I'm going through, listen, you can bear it. Because the Lord is faithful in what he permits. Oh, I know Job suffered terribly, but he only suffered what God permitted. He's faithful in what he will permit into your life. Very quickly, my time is going, but 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, the God of peace shall sanctify you wholly. And it said, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. He'll purify you. The Lord will work in your life. Sometimes he uses chastening, but the Lord will conform us to the image of his Son. He will work that purification. The last one, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 8. The last of the seven references, seven, number of perfection. Rainbow, symbol of the covenant, there are seven colours. And the last one, 1 Corinthians 1:8, God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of the Son. And verse 8, shall confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, he'll preserve you. He'll preserve you and present you faultless in heaven. Seven texts. We haven't the time to get you to turn to them, but look up your concordance. Think upon these seven verses. Meditate upon them. God is faithful. And when you think of Christ going to Calvary, how faithful he was, and think of these seven verses that are covenant verses, they're yours if you're in Christ, how he will pardon you and protect you and will only permit what you're able to bear by his grace. How he will purify your life and the other ones I've mentioned. Listen, that's the only motivation you can have to be faithful. Because faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Like the story of an elderly saint was gardening. And the believer came by and said, how are you keeping? He turned around and says, keeping? Keeping? I'm not keeping. I've been kept. I've been kept. And thank God for his faithfulness that he keeps us. Now, you see, we're talking about spiritual faithfulness. You probably know unbelievers, those who don't profess faith, and they're very dependable people in their moral life, in their society, in their job, in their family life. They're dependable, they're upright, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about being faithful to Christ, faithful to the gospel, faithful to the scripture. The only way is to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why in the passage, if you have your Bible open, verse 22, let us draw near. We need to draw near to the Lord, and he'll give us the strength. Verse 24, let us consider one another. We need each other. You in the Bible Presbyterian need a congregation around you. We here, we need a congregation, the local church, to support one another. Always faithful and brave. We're delighted to have you with us this morning, our friends from Singapore. And we would simply say to you, to our own congregation, our prayer for you is the motto of our own borough of Newton Arts. That God, through his grace, and the power of his Spirit will enable our two churches to be always faithful and true. And that each believer here, that you will be enabled by his grace to be always faithful and true. And thank God, if you don't know Christ as your Saviour this morning, we can say, come to Christ. Come and believe him. Why? Because God is faithful. He promised. And he promises all that come, he will in no wise cast out. May God enable us to hold fast to the faith. Let us turn